Episode 251.
We are going to have to go after work in a completely different manner with a new attitude, and we need to know how to measure the business a lot more effectively. And we were never businessmen. And that takes an admission of a fact that a lot of people are afraid to say. But let's face it, I was a technician. I was raised by a technician. He was raised by a technician. We think about the business in terms of how a technician wants to work on a car. And that doesn't necessarily mean good business, and it doesn't set the place on a trajectory necessarily for success.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. I'm with third-generation millennial Craig O'Neill from O'Neill's Transmission Service in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Carm Capriato here, your host, and I am so glad you are here listening to Aftermarket Professionals and getting your personal education through the power of storytelling. Yes, I'm helping you achieve your remarkable results. This episode is presented by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. They are the reason you enjoy these great aftermarket interviews. When you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Anco, Champion, Sealed Power, FP Diesel, and more, they're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. And thank you for your support of these brands. It is a great feeling to see the podcast audience grow, and I want to thank you. As you listen to hundreds of aftermarket professionals tell their story, in essence, they're paying it forward so the entire industry benefits. And you've been so instrumental in sharing with your industry peers and friends my web link and my social pages. In our pure altruistic form, we together are helping the entire industry through this portal of wisdom transfer, and I want to thank you for helping get the word out. Do you remember the story of why I built my own smartphone app? Well, it was last year at Apex when I heard from so many in attendance that they did not have iTunes or Google Play on their phones and that they weren't sure they ever would. Now, those were mostly the baby boomers. And even though the show is on over 8 podcast apps, it really is easier to have an app that is directly dedicated to only one source. So the Remarkable Results Radio app was born. Find it at your iOS or Android app store. It's free, and every episode is at your fingertips. Now, if you're an early adopter, please update your app. It just keeps getting better. Hey, I'd like to welcome new Facebook friends of the podcast, ASA Houston Chapter, Andre Busco and Tyler Flight, and new LinkedIn connections, Webb Price, Keenan Collins, and Jason Molly. Are you socially in touch with Remarkable Results Radio? And if not, find every social link at remarkableresults.biz/social. Now, meet Craig O'Neill. I met Craig in Detroit at the ASA Connected Cars event in May 2017. I had Craig on the show. His first appearance on the podcast was in an Academy forum on the Connected Cars event. It's Academy number 18. And now, here he is with me in a one-on-one interview. By the way, the show notes for this interview with Craig O'Neill is at remarkableresults.biz/E251. As the third generation of the O'Neill family business, Craig was so kind to share where the business is headed with some important changes. The transmission-only business has cycled itself into working on all repairs, not just transmissions. The business has hired a business consultant, is implementing DVI, has a very strong apprentice program, and is finally billing for diagnostic work. Craig shares the stories behind these key talking points. Now, here's the interview with Craig O'Neill. Hey, nice to be with Craig O'Neill from O'Neill's Transmission Service in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, Craig.
Hey, Carm. Great to see you again.
Hey, same here. Thanks for being on one of our academies on the ASA Connected Cars thing. I met you in Detroit. It was great to meet you.
Yeah, I had a great time there too and met some great people. And for the most part, you know, I've really enjoyed being able to talk to my clients about our time there too. And they're very impressed with the fact that the industry as a whole is even looking at the connected cars so early. They kind of look at it as one of those things, you know, wow, no, I didn't realize you guys would be doing that. You know, seems like some manufacturers would be dealing with right now.
You just said something very, very important. I remember doing an interview with Rick White, and he mentions that we need to bring more insights on the industry, on technology to our customers, and you're actually filling that role. So what's hot going on in the shop right now? You got some apprentice thing going?
We do, and that is definitely taking the bulk of our energy at the moment. We created an opportunity for inexperienced apprentices to come and join our team. And we did this specifically because we realized that the solution to the technician shortage that everybody's faced with right now, we're not going to find the solution. We have to create it. And I'm working very closely with a few other key people. I talk with Ray Fisher from ASA many times about this topic. Just last night, actually, I was touring the MTech facility at Grand Rapids Community College, talked with Chad Laudenstein, the head of the automotive technology department there. Brought my student, my apprentices with me, and their prospective students now for that facility as well. I mean, they help us fast track their education, make them not so much, you know, an apprentice can be overhead.
Oh, wait a minute. Time out. I love what you just said. You've got some apprentices, but you want to engage them with the automotive technology program?
Absolutely. I was on the job training. That's how I came into this industry. My family business, this is what we do. But on the job training is something that actually takes quite a long time. And when you don't come into the industry as these apprentices are with a foundation of knowledge at all, you need a way to build that foundation much more quickly than on-the-job training is going to be able to do. And that's where hopefully the community college route will come in. And I think with their beautiful facility there, I think it'll be a great place to have them learn.
And the reason you're doing this is because your apprentices have no experience. Am I right?
Right. We wanted apprentices with experience. We looked, but I didn't make that a disqualifier for people that had a strong enough interest. You know, some of the characteristics that would make them potentially become successful despite the lack of experience. One of those key characteristics, and this is where I would point to conversations that I've enjoyed with Ray Fisher's counsel, is he had taught me a really key piece of advice. When you're hiring, he says, hire for initiative. And that's what I was looking for. In the interview I had with these young men, I had 15 replies to the advertisement for the position. All those responses came so sudden. I was busy with just responding to apprentice applications for a good segment of my time for several days and a couple of weeks that I let that period run. And I had to whittle that down. I found about four people that were really like potentially qualified to make it. You know, you want to take an apprentice on that's going to have some trajectory for success. It's a risk, and you don't know what you're getting. These guys are, anytime you're hiring someone, you don't really know what you're getting unless your interview process is somehow constructed that way. And I was looking for guys that could communicate well. I mean, I hear people say that, oh, you know, they just need a wrench, somebody who's going to be able to be fast on a wrenching, and that is not enough. Not anymore. We need guys who are smart, who look crisp, are going to be technologically savvy, and they can actually develop this learning culture that we're about and come alongside of other guys, be a good fit to the crew, add assets to their position, and, you know, develop themselves as a professional. It's a concept this industry needs to get familiar with again.
So you're hiring for attitude.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, if you don't want to learn and develop yourself and maintain a professional image, I don't care how fast you can wrench on something, that's not going to cut it moving into the future.
Okay, so take me a little deeper into the community college connection. Are you literally working with them and saying, hey, these are the classes that I need? Are you kind of creating this, or are they fitting into a curriculum of theirs?
Well, they have a great program at our community college. They have night classes so that they enable people to still be able to work full time. And then one night a week, you do a 4-hour class for 18 weeks, I think it is. And, you know, you get pick which subject matter is the one that interests you first. And that's what I want to take with an apprentice, is find out what does naturally appeal to them first. What area do they feel like they really want to know about first? Because that's going to be the foundation for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Once they have that foundation down and they enjoy it and find themselves successful with it, well, hopefully they're going to be motivated to continue learning. And it is a continuing education. Every technician I told some of my other guys that one of my ASC certified techs actually came with us too, because you know he wanted to learn a couple things that might not come around in a seminar circuit, and he's looking at taking a class as well. You can pick it up wherever you want. That's why we do it.
I'm talking with Mike Zralik, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. So you have this van, and it's the Guru on the Go van, and it's all nicely decked out, and you drop by for lunches and learns. How do shops get a chance to get that van to come to their place?
Well, they can, of course, call into our Guru hotline and request it. They can talk to their parts distributor, you know, and through that channel, we can go out and do some training, or even with us out in the field. You know, if they see us, we do various warehouse distributor type shows, many different events. We're out there everywhere. Just come by and ask, and we'll be more than happy to come by.
Hey, Mike, if I said you were a champion for Federal Mogul Motor Parts, would I be right?
You betcha.
So give me an example.
I live, eat, breathe Federal Mogul on a daily basis. You know, growing up, I being in the racing industry, I knew a lot about Moog. I loved Moog. Felpro, same thing. To go out and be able to talk about a company this big, this strong, it makes me happy every single day. Yeah, I'm so excited to do it on a day in and day out basis.
What are technicians saying after you're done with your presentation?
When can you come back? They want more day in and day out.
They want more, and you have more to give. You've got so many key product lines in the industry.
Oh, we have a ton of product lines and a ton of training that's available, you know, with those product lines and on a technical side too.
How dazzled are the techs to see that compression-loaded ball joint with the pre-installed integral dust boot?
They come unglued. They are so excited about that because less frustrations. You know, they've been dealing with issues in the field of damaging that boot during installation, and it makes it so much easier to put in. And it's a beautiful piece.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the Gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. What else is going on at the shop?
The shop has undergone quite a few changes over these past several years. We're a transmission specialist, but we are also so much more. And in all but name, we've maintained our name, O'Neill's Transmission Service Incorporated.
Okay, family business. How many years?
It was founded in 1960 by my grandfather. It's 57 years. Yeah, it's a long haul for any business. I don't care what industry you're in. And the thing is our business has stayed very, very much the same for most of this time. All through the late 90s, early 2000s, we were pretty much all transmissions, only transmissions, and we only did Ford, GM, and Chrysler. And you know what, Carmen? We were busy. We were very busy all day long. I remember my favorite Christmas was, it must have been late 90s. We had every single hoist in the shop filled with a Dodge Grand Caravan with an A604 transmission needing overhaul. And yeah, that was a Merry Christmas season.
Thank you, Chrysler.
Oh, yeah.
So you're third generation. And you're really looking, I guess, at a metamorphosis for the business. You've got to move into general repair, and I believe you have.
Yes, we have. Over the last 10 years, we've been gradually adding more and more of our abilities to the drivability diagnosis. We're using oscilloscopes for all sorts of things. A lot of the transmission diagnosis traditionally was quite simple because it was pattern failures, consistently the same problem. After another, one after another, you would have a 4L60E come in with a reverse reaction sun gear shell. You knew that if it didn't have second, fourth, and reverse, that shell is bad, and you know exactly how to approach it. You've got a canned job on your screen, and away you go.
But are you doing that kind of work today? I mean, are you actually bench rebuilding, or are you buying reman units?
It is still some bench rebuilding, but it is becoming increasingly difficult to be competitive with the mass rebuilt units that are out there now. It used to be we were saving people $2,000 just by overhauling a transmission the way we do it. Now, sometimes we're $500-$800 more than what it would take to replace it in order to build it right, in-house, custom. So that's changed. And our business model has to go with that too, because now we can't plan on those pattern failures, just stock ourselves for a few of the common transmission models and expect to have that inventory work for us like it used to. The 604, what you had a model year run on that transmission that used to be in those caravans. It was like 1989 all the way up until 2006. They ran that transmission. That's a long haul. You do not see that sort of long track history on a transmission model nowadays. They're changing transmission models every few model years, it feels like, with they're trying to meet those EPA requirements to get the fuel economy to what they need. So they're consistently adding now the 6-speed transmissions, which have some pretty interesting pattern failures right now, but they're not keeping them there long. Now we're going to be moving into 9-12-speed transmissions and all that sort. And they do this so rapidly, you'll never have that same transmission for long enough to about have what that I'm going to have consistent pattern like you used to the next 10 years.
Your company is O'Neill's Transmissions Service. I mean, you see what's how down have you gone about marketing yourself
there
as general
are so
repair?
Many technological
well, we have one unique advantage so
that a lot of other
now.
Facilities don't have.
I don't think it's
we've
even
got
fair
a radio show on Saturday morning. This is going to look like in 10 years.
Radio station Wood 1300. My grandfather started doing that. Boy, he'd be happy to tell you how long it was. I can't remember exactly. It's been over a decade. He's since retired from the show. My brother, Sean O'Neill, is actually doing that on Saturday mornings still. And, of course, radio commercials as well on the same station. It's a really, really well-recognized in town.
So it's a great way to tell the world that you're doing General Automotive.
Yeah. Yep. It's been a call-in show as it is. And so people are used to calling in and talking to us, and they really like the familiarity that they've developed. And you're developing relationships with people long before they're ever your customer. And it isn't one of those shows where it says, hey, you know, take it to us. We're actually on there with another one of our friends, a professional shop for Berg's Automotive. Al Schwiegendorf does the show with Sean now, and they're just down the street from us, another general repair facility. And you know, technically, I suppose we are competitors. However, it is a professional competition where we share a lot of the same clients. And it works out well. And since you're developing relationships with the whole audience, I mean, you're not just sending it to one of those two shops. You're building the industry's reputation as a whole. People see that. They do obviously recognize that, well, here's what a professional group of shops looks like.
Great attitude, co-opetition, work with your competitors, all ships rise. Wonderful. Glad to hear that. Okay, so you're third generation, a millennial, actually. What are you bringing as third gen millennial to the business?
Here's the thing. Dad and Grandpa have been at it with the business model not changing for so long. They're used to a certain way of doing things, and they don't really necessarily want to change it, and they don't see the need to, because they're faced with, my grandpa is retired, my dad wants to be. Here I am, I'm 34, I'm thinking, well, shoot, I've probably got to work 40 years before I can retire, you know, this generation, right? And
no, wait a minute. No, that's because of the boomer that your dad is thinking. You see, you're watching him not retire, and you're thinking that's what you have to do. It's interesting to look up the channel, isn't it?
Well, Dad's not that old either. He is, he's 55, 56, I think. So he's got to stay in it a little while longer. I got to keep him engaged on there. But since there is that time scale difference on what we actually need from the place, I'm thinking about what I'm going to have to do with cars for the next 10 years, the next 15 years, the next 20 years. And I mean, you see what's coming down with the automated vehicles, with the advanced driver assist systems. There are so many technological improvements coming so rapidly now. I don't think it's even fair to say anybody knows what their business is going to look like in 10 years.
Yeah, but you know, the nice thing about what you're doing is you're thinking about it, and you will be nimble enough to move where you need to move, because you've put it in your crystal ball. You've put it on your radar, haven't you?
Absolutely. I've been a technician most of my time with the business, and having faced the likelihood of taking over the business now, I'm starting to actually get to that point where I'm working on the business, not just in the business. And starting to do this, that's where I realized, you know, this is a different skill set that I have not developed enough yet. And that's probably where the biggest difference is between me and my dad and my grandpa even. I mean, their time in this business, not to say that it was easy, that wouldn't be fair. They've absolutely and had to work very hard for the success that they've earned. But it is not going to be those pattern failures like we have seen for so long. We are going to have to go after work in a completely different manner with a new attitude. And we need to know how to measure the business a lot more effectively. And we were never businessmen. And that takes an admission of a fact that a lot of people are afraid to say. But let's face it, I was a technician. I was raised by a technician. He was raised by a technician. We think about the business in terms of how a technician wants to work on a car. And that doesn't necessarily mean good business, and it doesn't set the place on a trajectory necessarily for success.
I wonder what your DNA would look like if you sent it in for analysis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, we've got a healthy blend of personalities in the family, let me tell you.
Excellent. Excellent. Really, I think what you're saying is that the speed of business today is faster than it has ever been. It is your responsibility as the young member of the business to literally go to dad and say, listen, as I'm looking 10 years out, dad, these are the things that I see. Now, when you have that meeting with your dad, what does he say?
The thing with my dad is he's really is ready to be done with the business. He knows he can't be yet. He knows that he wants to make a transition for me smooth and successful. And so we're trying to find an agreement on those things. With him, though, he has complete confidence in my decision-making, which is a really amazing blessing from the previous generation to have confidence instilled in you and encouragement and motivation. The only thing that we need to formulate now is a plan and an actionable plan at that.
But there's nothing wrong, Craig, with a 10-year plan, because at least you would know what it is. I hear a lot from generations that family says, hey, this is all going to be yours someday, but they literally didn't create a plan to make it work out. And all I think the third, the fourth generation, the family members want to know is, what's the plan?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And that's still a big part of the question. And we aren't good at making it yet. We're learning how to make that. I was not just suddenly put into the position and now like, okay, you know, we're going to make a plan and here's what the plan is. I need to learn how to make a plan first. And in order to make a plan, you need to know how to measure your business. That in and of itself is, if you've never had that mindset, you've got to learn that.
So what did you do to go out and learn this or get some help?
I think it was a year ago. There was a trade expo that came in right here in Grand Rapids. For one of the first times ever, I'm looking at the class lists here and it's like, yeah, no, I think I'm going to take some of the business management courses. And so I see this one by Bob Greenwood, signed up for that. It's all-day class. I'm like, well, I guess I'm doing business management right now. I'm going to have to do this. So signed right up for that. And oh my goodness, was that an eye-opener. The first time I had heard Mr. Greenwood speak at all, I hadn't even known of Remarkable Results Radio at the time or anything else. But then here I am sitting in that class and I'm hearing him talk about all these things that I'm trying to figure out how to do. And I'm nodding along. It's like, holy cow. It's like this guy's like his entire class was like written for me. And this specific situation that I'm specifically faced with, it felt that like I had the complete sense like, this is exactly where I needed to be. I maintained communication with Bob afterward. And we hired him as our consultant. And boy, that was literally the best decision I think I've ever made from the management position that I now find myself in, because it's been absolutely instrumental to have, one, the encouragement, but two, to be given the tools to actually begin to run the shop as an automotive business, not just a conventional family business mindset that I had.
You know, it's great to hear about, you know, a connection that happens and then you hire. And now, did you make a right decision?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah, no question about it. And it's great. You know, we see articles written by Bob and several of the magazines too. And my favorite moment was when one of my technicians who was reading that magazine, he came up and said, "Hey, Craig, did you see this article? This sounds like something you were talking about the other day." I says, "Yeah, flip over another page. What's the name of the guy that wrote it?" And he said, "Oh yeah, it's Bob Greenwood. Oh, isn't that your consultant?" "Yeah."
Here's the great story. I continue to hear every time I do an interview, a key takeaway for 2017 so far has been that the most successful guys out there and ladies and husband and wife teams have gone out and hired themselves a coach. And that was such a difference maker for them. And they've even maintained relationships years in. They're more successful beyond their imagination, their realization, anything that they were doing before. You're confirming that, and it's great to hear. So not only are you in a transformative business model and you're thinking about the future and you've got apprentices going on and you've got a new business coach and you're worrying about a succession plan, you're also implementing DVI.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we implemented that. We've been trying to do it on and off. We keep touch and go on it for so long. We've had enough structural changes in the last few years to make some of these transitions difficult. And now what we've done, we started using Auto Vitals. We are about 2.5 weeks into this now. And we're doing this interview, and I had mentioned to you that my service advisor has been sick for 3 days, and it's a real stress. But, you know, it's almost a blessing in some regards, because there I am sitting at the front desk, right again, full responsibility for everything coming in the door while I'm trying to implement this system. And wow, this is exactly the system that I wanted 15 years ago when I was sitting in that same chair. And the things that it's doing, I'm sending these reports and these things to these clients, and the feedback I have gotten already just from sending a courtesy inspection at that, just a simple one that went right to their email and text, and they've got the pictures and the technician notes with it. They're saying that I'm spending like 5-10 minutes on the phone. They're just raving about the how neat it is that I've taken these pictures of all these things, and that this is this. No. And they're like explaining that, no, now I know what you mean when I see this. A picture is worth so much. I don't ever want to sell services without a picture ever again.
What I hear you saying and that I've heard often is it's called bragging rights. Your client who's at work takes his smartphone and he shows it to his colleagues and say, "Does your shop do this?"
Yeah. Well, and I've had a client already do that, and they've already said, "Is it, no, I'm going to, my coworker or my friend, they're going to give you a call too. They need to have this done too." It's like, oh, amazing. It was not an easy sell for my technicians though. Let me tell you, what do they want to do? They want to work efficiently. They want to make the business money, and they understand that much, but they had to be convinced that this is something that's going to add to that. I'll tell you, that was a motivator in my apprentices joining me too. I took two apprentices, not because I necessarily wanted to, but because I knew I was going to be implementing this program. And one of the young men that was really persistent that wanted the job, we hired him because he followed up and he was very professional about his follow-up. I thought, you know what? He's going to help me roll this program out. He's doing it. I can give him the most vague assignments, like, you know, make sure they're getting their tablet signed in and do this and that. 19-year-old kid now, I've heard our technicians go out to him and say, hey Matt, I'm trying to do this with the tablet. What do you do this? And he says, okay, so what you need to do is this and this and this and that and that. And that's amazing. And my hands are clean of having to be the facilitator on every single component of it. It's my most satisfactory moment of delegation I think I've yet experienced.
How smart. You know, I've been asking everybody that I've been interviewing lately if they're doing DVI, and it's on the profile that, you know, we talk about. And I can't remember when it was, maybe today, yesterday, someone said, you know, Carm, when you interview somebody in 5 years and you ask, you won't ever ask that question because it will be old hat by then. Everybody will have to have it. It may depend on now which one that you're implementing, because each of them will have their own really unique features. So does this really mean that you're going to become paperless?
I hope so. We have papers flying around all the time, and sometimes it's still easier to write a quick note for yourself primarily on a piece of paper, or somebody can't quite grab the tablet or see the message. But that's a habit thing. We're used to seeing that sort of thing. And there's so many internal features to these tablets and the manager's screen. We have a dual monitor setup. It's got a nice swing arm there so you can show the customers things and whatnot. But you got to get in that habit of looking at the notes when that chime comes in on your screen and develop new processes.
Here's a new system, but you still have to have the processes to support it. They always say it's about 3 weeks to form a new habit and a very short amount of time to break it.
Yeah, we haven't been 3 weeks yet, so hopefully the habit will begin maybe next week, yeah?
Good for you, good for you. So, you know, we always talk technician shortage. It looks like you're doing something about it.
We absolutely are trying to do that. The only problem is when it comes to the transmission segment of things, I don't see any relief for that as a transmission specialist. And this is the big part of why we are driving slowly away from that transmission specialty. I don't know anybody that's actually started out as a young technician that wants to get into rebuilding transmissions at all. And I don't see that being a very long-term skill that's necessarily going to benefit an individual unless they're working at a rebuilding facility. And that's what they want to do in an independent garage. I think that it is going to be increasingly rare to see that. And so part of the shortage we face, I literally don't believe I can create that solution fast enough to make it viable. I think in the next 20 years, the likelihood of anybody rebuilding a transmission in an economical fashion in a traditional transmission shop like ours is probably going to be non-existent. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that it's pretty obvious where we're heading on things. Mass rebuilt units are taking over that need. And but every other technician, it's the troubleshooter that you need in your shop now. It's the diagnostics, and it's the ability to bill for diagnostics in a way that the shop can remain profitable and that the technician knows that his diligence in troubleshooting accurately is actually being rewarded and reflected properly in the shop's success. So
you have no problem billing for diagnostic time?
Not at all. We used to. We were not good at this. We, as recently as 10, even 11 years ago, time goes fast. I may be off on that, but we used to do free diagnostics for the longest time, but it used to be a lot easier for us too, because it was all those pattern failures like we discussed earlier.
But what about, if you're moving into automotive technology and you've got some diagnostic specialists there ferreting out the really tough problems on cars, are you charging for that?
Absolutely. We did this in phases. We started with a really nominal initial inspection fee, and we used to say that old adage, and this was just so stupid now we realize, but we would credit back the diagnostic fee if they did the repair. And I know there's people out there that still do this.
You're not doing that, right?
Gosh, no. I want to go back in time and kick ourselves for doing that. And, you know, I'm talking with Bob Greenwood on those sort of things too. His quote is great. I mean, you are not paid to fix cars. You are paid to find solutions. We're in the knowledge business now, and that is got to be expressed to the clients, and the industry as a whole needs to be able to recognize that if we are giving away the most difficult part of the job, how are you going to afford the technicians that you need to find the solutions on these complex vehicles of the future? Because if these technicians are even going to exist to want to be the guy that can solve those problems, you're going to have to be able to pay them very, very well. And skilled technicians will leave the industry if that possibility does not manifest itself. So if you are a shop, I would feel very confident saying if there are still facilities that exist today that think diagnostics should be free, I just wish they would figure out that that's harming the industry and creating a problem that makes the technician shortage worse.
I don't think anyone that I've ever interviewed believes that, but yes, there's a group out there that they might not even have the right labor rate to start with. It's so encouraging to interview entrepreneurs, shop owners that talk about this, even business coaches, and our whole goal is to, you know, spread that kind of wisdom into the industry and let people that may not get into networking groups and go to meetings and have a business coach to be inspired by people like you saying, "Hey, this is what we have to this is what we have to do." Now, do you have a diagnostic rate that's higher than a normal labor rate?
Yeah. No, our diagnostic rate is at least $30 more than our regular maintenance rate, and we've recently raised both of those. And that was a component of our coaching and consulting with Mr. Greenwood too, helping us to calculate not arbitrarily what a labor rate should be, but to figure out what it needs to be for the business to actually be profitable. And when you can figure that out for your facility, that is absolutely enormous, because now you know what your real potential earnings are going to look like, and you can start to make some actual planning on that. But no, I mean, shop labor rates were low. We were never terribly low compared to some of the averages in town. I mean, we were $90 before anybody else was, but we were transmission specialists. And as it was then, transmission specialists generally would earn more than the average general repair mechanic. But the average labor rate now on most things, you'll see $120 door rate and $150 an hour for diagnostics. And these numbers, Carm, are going to continue to trend upwards very rapidly as the industry is faced with increased expenses. I mean, health insurance benefits and all these sort of things. If you're going to attract talent to our industry, all shops need to be able to put themselves on this plane.
The pay of our technicians needs to get where it needs to be based on the education that they have, the tools they need to buy. You're absolutely right. Do you have any kind of great idea on you can share about improving profitability of a shop?
We are still developing is how to become more profitable on this. Now, there's all kinds of logic to it. The thing that bothers me the most is when people think the solution to greater profitability is just more cars, more car count, get that car count up, get more invoices. The actual secret to increased profitability is in managing the clients that you have there in your shop today to the full potential that you can. When you can actually take the time to slow down and focus on those clients, I mean, it's counterintuitive, but the idea is to actually slow down and focus on those clients. What is your job? Your job is to make sure their vehicle is safe and dependable. And when you take that job very seriously, you are going to look over that vehicle, you will do your diligence on your inspections, and you will point out each and everything on that vehicle that client needs to be made aware of. And when they understand that this is done for truly good reasons, that you are there to make them safe and dependable. Yes, the shop is there to make a profit as well, but this is one of those win-win-win scenarios. You know, the shop is going to become more profitable by being more diligent and making sure they're fully servicing their clients, not partially, not quickly having to get to the next car because you ignored this on this vehicle to get to the next vehicle because, you know, car count is the almighty thing. And then you let things fall through the cracks, the shop gets too busy, and things will fall apart.
So DVI is going to help, isn't it?
Oh, it already, I'm seeing it this week more than any week I've done it, just as a part of being at both ends in the front office and the back office, you know. And yeah, I can see this is exactly where we need to go. And finally, my technicians are seeing it too. We relayed some of the comments from the customers to the technicians, the how much they appreciate that diligence of that inspection. And they now see like, okay, no, that's really great that we're seeing the feedback, that we've seen additional work actually approved as a result of this picture that you spent the time to take. That's huge.
Craig, where are you getting your big ideas?
The nice thing is that we are not alone. No shop is an island. and for so much time, we network. And that's where the best ideas come from. And my brother, Sean, has been a really great proponent for this too. Several of our just most appreciated connections have come through his work with several other main diagnosticians. We became associated with Ryan Kuiman, who I know has been a guest on your program times, and we get to beta test seminars with him and his guys over at Tolman's Automotive in Allendale. We get to do that a couple times a year, beta tests and seminars for him. It's a really unique thing. And you get to, when you meet all these other professionals all the time, you meet the right kind of people. that are facing the same challenges you do, and that they are finding solutions as well. And you talk and you get ideas, and these are kind of the circles that you get them from. So they don't just come out of thin air. They come from trade journals. They come from those conversations with colleagues and other professionals. That's where it's at. And anybody who isn't doing those things or doesn't afford themselves the time to do it, they're missing out on something that they really need to try to be able to focus on.
What's the most unexpected thing you've learned along the way?
I think the most unexpected thing has been the degree to which other people can be counted on. I have not always been good at delegating things and letting other people do a task that I am used to doing myself. I can be probably a micromanager very easily if I let myself, and not because I don't trust people necessarily, but because I have a very specific way that I very carefully have developed over years on how I like to do a specific procedure. And when other people aren't doing it the way I would like to see it done, I'd rather jump in and do it myself. When you actually do patiently wait and watch and see and enable people to become your right hand, they will defy all expectations. And that's where, like, one of our main technician right now, Elliot Dubay, he's an ASE master certified tech now. And about 5-6 years ago, I think he was an apprentice here. I have just been consistently amazed at what happens now. I've seen it. What happens from an apprentice stage to a professional technician that I count on daily for the most complex diagnostics that the shop sees, you know, to see that process now beginning just at another starting point with new apprentices.
Because you mean you pretty much got out of his way?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. I wish I learned a lot sooner.
People, they're talented. They want to lead. What are you doing to create a buzz on the business?
There's a few things I have going for me on that. One is that radio show still. My other favored communications representative, if you will, would be my wife. She's the one that keeps me very, very encouraged. She's not been traditionally involved with the business, but she's expressed, you know, that she wants to help and do stuff. And we've seen other shops where they have very successful husband-wife teams. There's a local shop in town here, Ari Knowles. Jeff and Debbie Knoll are a well-known couple as well that are very involved in things. So I've showed my wife what they're doing on their website and some various things. And it's like, okay, yeah, this lady guess I could do this sort of thing for you too. And so, okay. So she's starting to manage Facebook and those sort of things. And she's certainly the softer side of me as it is. So it's nice to know that she's there to do that. But, otherwise the buzz would have to start with the client conversations beyond that too. And that's where I try to spend some of my time, not getting in the way of my service advisor as much as possible, but having those conversations with clients and pointing them to all those other things that we're doing too, and expressing the excitement that we have for the coming technology and developing those sort of conversations with them, telling them what we're doing with apprentices and what these guys are certified in now, or how this person developed and this and that. That's how you make a buzz. People get excited. They feel like they know you. Well, we want them to.
Absolutely. I think you're saying all the right thing for, as you're pretty much defining the role that you have in the business. Hey, thanks a mil for being here. I really enjoyed it. Great perspective as a millennial and a third gen in the business. Words to live by? Any special quote that you'd love to share with us?
Well, you know, I could sit here and quote Greenwood to you all day, but I think you've interviewed him a few times, so it's going to get repetitive. But I want to add the most important thing is to develop a learning culture in your facilities that cannot be stressed enough.
Let me tell you who says that. That's Jeff Peavy from AMI. Yeah, yeah.
There you go. So, yep. And this is huge. And it's taken foot here. And my brother Sean was a key player for initiating a lot of that too. We get to those John Thornton seminars and those Eric Ziegler seminars. And wow, you know, when you get those sort of seminars with your crew and you take your crew to those guys and you hear them teach, when you have a group of technicians that's excited to go to a seminar because they know who that instructor is and they know how great that education is, that's awesome. Because now you aren't just having to shove them out the door to a seminar because it's giving you free food or anything. Some of these don't even have food. The food is the knowledge. And when they are fed, you know, you will see that take place in your shop. So find good trainers, you know, that they're out there, and man, if you can get your crew going on that, the rest is, well, it's not automatic, but it starts to feel a lot easier.
Hey, thanks so much, Craig O'Neill from O'Neill's Transmission Service in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thanks for being on, man.
Thank you, Carm. It's great talking with you.
Thank you, Craig O'Neill, for adding to this education network and sharing your story for the benefit and gain of the entire aftermarket. Visit Craig's show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E251 and find the talking points, Craig's extended bio, and a company profile. And thank you for joining us and your support of the Aftermarket's premier podcast. I know you are finding a treasure trove of wisdom in the podcast archives that include the individual interviews and the Town Hall Academy single subject forums. Now, if you have any questions or comments, email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. Continue to share this content-rich resource with your friend. There's plenty to go around and help lift all aftermarket ships. Just email the episode link, share my Facebook page, Twitter account, or LinkedIn connections. You know the richness grows because you help ripple the water of remarkable results. Thank you for your support.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.